From the people who bring you Charleston Home & Design Magazine, the Charleston Home & Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
The light in the sky, in the skies are like fireflies, burning bright, just to vanish in the dark. I've held hope in my two hands that there would be another chance to find a kingdom. I believe in my heart, 'cause underneath the good there's something greater than you know. Where you're
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home & Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was Almost Home by Mariah Carey, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Taryn Berger. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also published Charleston Home & Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home & Design Show, which is coming up January 22nd through the 24th at the North Charleston Convention Center, and also the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, which typically happens every April, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every August in the fall. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. I wanted to announce a new sponsor. If you're a fan of our show, you have probably heard that we started a new podcast and blog called Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations. And this is a podcast and blog where we get to know Charleston's top building and remodeling contractors. And we are very, very proud to be partnering with the Charleston Home Builders Association as the sponsor of Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations. So Brilliant Builders and Renovation Sensations, brought to you by the Charleston Home Builders Association. We'll be talking with remodeling contractor Kevin Kalman with Kalman Construction. And then we've also got two other really good interviews. One is with Kristen Robson with French Mercantile. And if you haven't visited this very unique, beautiful shop in Somerville, you definitely want to make plans to. They have these really amazing authentic pieces that are from France, and they're used for different decorations. They've got these bread bowls and all sorts of really, really good things. You're going to hear more about that in a couple of minutes. Every time I stop by there to drop off Charleston Home & Design magazines, there's cars parked out front. It's in a home, an old historic home, and definitely want to check that out. And then also we're going to be talking with Ben Walters with Carolina Lanterns and Lighting. But I did want to circle back and talk to you about the Charleston Home & Design Show coming up January 22nd through the 24th. Booth sales are well underway, And I did want to mention, if you happen to, we have a lot of business owners that listen to our home, our radio show. And if you own a company that caters to affluent homeowners, you have a home related product or service, and you would like to talk to us about perhaps being part of the Charleston Home and Design Show, January 22nd through the 24th, I urge you to give our office a call at 843-577-7652. We've got some really, really exciting things going on. We've doubled the square footage of the home show to allow plenty of space for social distancing. And I've got some exciting announcements that I'm going to be making in the coming weeks. But definitely want to check out CharlestonHomeAndDesignShow.com if you want more information. Have a great weekend. And joining us today is remodeling contractor and custom builder Kevin Kalman with Kalman Construction. How you doing, Kevin?
Great to be here, Tim.
Kevin, today I wanted to ask you some questions about energy efficiency. How that's something that everyone is very concerned with, and in your 40 years in the industry, you've kind of seen an evolution of going from the concept of homes should breathe and so they're not as but today they're built a lot tighter than homes were built in years past, and that's just one example. But talk about what are the things that you talk to your customers about when it comes to energy efficiency of your home?
For a while, seems to be, and every client seems to be aware of it, is the whole foam versus fiberglass insulation thing. And I think it's where people get the most bang for their buck. And so we've been doing a fair amount of foam, open cell foam, in homes that we've been doing. And we've been doing the underside of the roofs. So it makes the attics cooler. And especially if the HVAC equipment is up in the attic, it makes everything sweat less. It is markedly cooler in an attic. I mean, in the middle of summertime in a construction job, it's markedly cooler inside the house when everything gets foamed versus when everything gets done with bat fiberglass. The result to our clients' electric bills are substantially lower. Way lower than like comparable houses that we've done in the past in the same area. Everything's not apples for apples, but it's close enough where you can get a pretty good look at it and say, this guy's, you know, electric bill in the middle of summer is, you know, 340, and this guy's over here is 150. So it's a pretty good gauge as to what's happening. We've been doing a fair amount of gas work. Our preference is to be able to put as much stuff on natural gas or propane as we can, and take the electric load off of somebody's house, and also try to set the house up in such a way that there's a solar variable that could be added either at the end of construction or later down the road. And by taking a lot of that stuff off of the electric load, it helps them to be able to recoup money from the solar end of things. I have that at my house. It's made a huge difference.
Well, and you mentioned spray foam insulation. Talk about the difference between spray foam and what people probably have in their attic if they don't have spray foam insulation, which is that the fiberglass bat insulation.
Yeah, the people usually have one of two things. They'll either have a fiberglass bat, which is kind of like, it's either a pink or a yellow, kind of like spun product. And if you get it on you, it's itchy, mm-hmm. Kind of thing. That's how everybody knows what it is. Or they'll have some type of a blown in, like a rock wool, which is just like a cottony, woolly substance that just gets blown in. It kind of looks like a snowdrift. So people usually have one of those two things in there. The rock wool is really good. For one thing, is that it gets all the cracks and crevices if it's blown in correctly into the right density. The problem is that over time it settles. And as it settles, it loses. What gives it the insulating value is the little pockets of air in between all the little pieces of wool. And so as it compresses down, that air goes away, and then the density and the R value, the resistance to letting the heat escape or the coolness escape, goes away. And so the thing with the foam is it's always the same. It doesn't change. And so they spray it. You know, the guys come in and they look in the hazmat suits and, you know, the big hoses and the spray guns, and they spray the stuff up in there. It takes a day. They spray everything and they leave and it's done and it's over. And it'll be the same now as it'll be 10 years from now. So it's really a great product. And one other thing that probably needs talking about is the change in windows and doors, the tightness and the availability of quality windows and doors at reasonable prices nowadays, due to standard manufacturing processes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the air gap, you know, and air blowing around windows and stuff like that is pretty much eliminated nowadays if you're buying good quality windows. The only windows we use are hurricane impact windows, impact glass windows, hurricane rated. I just don't see the wisdom of buying a window that's not an impact rated window in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a new job, you'll get a break on your insurance of 10% by having impact glass. The insurance company knows if you have impact glass, you're protected. They know if you have shutters, you're never going to put them up. They know that everybody waits to the very last minute before they evacuate, and then they don't have time to put them up. And so they won't give you any credit at all for having hurricane panels. So, you know, having an impact window is, in my world, is a standard product.
Yeah, that's true. I want to get back to the insulation question again. That's okay. So, if you don't have spray foam insulation in your attic, it's very common to roofing companies will create a roof. Is it called a roof vent or a ridge vent?
Ridge vent, yes.
Okay, so you're going to the point is they want the hot air to be able to, or they want air movement in your attic. They want the hot air to be able to escape, and when this but that also means when you go into your attic in the summertime, it's going to be 120 degrees. It's going to be unbearable. And you as you mentioned before, you've got most people have HVAC equipment up in the attic, which is, it's going to take a toll on that. But when you do the spray foam insulation, they're sealing up completely the entire attic, including the ridge vents and everything like that. And that's what creates that the cooler temperature in your attic. How does that impact the rest of the house?
The whole concept of sealing the underside of the roof with the spray foam, it does two things. First, it keeps the heat from penetrating down and getting into the attic area to start with. And the second thing it does is it glues the plywood to the rafters, you know, for high wind protection. So there's a couple of good things that happened when you do this. The fact that we have all our air conditioning and stuff up in there, we use the most insulation that we can put around the ductwork, which is R8. And so we use that around all of our ductwork to start with. But by putting that up in there, the loss of cooling and heat out of those pipes is like cut in half. It makes a huge, huge difference. The heat in the attic, if I go into somebody's attic in the middle of July here, it's got to top 130, 140 sometimes. And I can go up into one of these ones that have been spray foamed, and I bet it's 95, 100. Something. It's a huge, huge difference. Mm-hmm. Just a huge difference. And we have to have the HVAC equipment duct tested. You know, they come in and they test the ducts to make sure that there's no leakage, so forth. There's a minimum amount that's allowable. And if you're above that, then your duct work fails. And by having it up in there, it just helps prolong the life of the unit and all of that duct work and all of the insulation. The attic is just so much cleaner. It's amazing, just totally amazing.
And if you don't have the spray foam insulation, basically that heat that's in your attic, That's going to radiate down into the floor below the attic. And I guess, not everyone may be familiar with that term radiate, but, let's say it's a cloudy day and all of a sudden the sun comes out and you feel the sun radiating on your arm. That's what's happening with the heat in that attic. It's radiating down into the lower floor. And then you're having to run your air conditioning more to cool that space, and you don't have the heat radiating in as you do with spray foam insulation, right?
Yeah, you don't have it as bad at all because it's not as hot to start with up there. And even if you have blown-in insulation or fiberglass insulation now, you can still put you can still get the foam guys to come, and they can still foam the underside of your rafters. You can leave the other stuff in place. Some clients have it removed. Some clients just leave it in place. And, it's kind of like belt and suspenders at that point in time. It's like double protection.
That's a good way to look at it. That's right. And you had mentioned, and I don't want to bore our listeners with all this information about insulation, but you said that you use open cell spray foam insulation versus closed cell. What's the reason for that?
Well, the open cell, if there's a leak, if some roof shingle blows up or something like that and there's a leak, it will show up. You'll be able to find it. You'll be able to know where it is. So open cell just means that closed cell foam, it's like it's got like a skin on it. It's like hard. It's like plastic, basically, when it all seals up. The other stuff is more like a sponge. Open cell is more like a sponge. So if we have a leak or we have something we have to get to, you can cut the stuff out easy. You can get to it. You can see what the problem is. You can fix it. You can patch it. The hard cell stuff, the closed cell, is really tough to deal with. You could, by the time a leak shows up somewhere, it might have been leaking for years, and it might show up 30 feet from where it's actually leaking by the time it actually shows up. So, there's a lot of controversy about a big debate about whether you should use closed cell or open cell, or we started using closed cell years ago. We've gone to open cell the last few years, so that's kind of where we've landed on it. It's a crawl space house or it's a raised house. I like to put a couple of inches of foam underneath the floor, and it's not so much for our value because we can still put bad in there, but it's more for air sealing, and that's the real difference about this stuff. It just air seals everything completely, 100%.
I was just about to mention that, Kevin, the fact that, don't worry about the walls of your house because there's very little air infiltration or there's very little air, conditioned air, heated or cooled air that's escaping through the walls. It's the attic, and it's underneath the house in the crawl space. That's where you should put that spray foam insulation.
Here's an interesting thing, Tim, that probably a lot of you people aren't aware of. We have a couple of different termite companies that we deal with, and one of the termite companies that we deal with will not bond a house if it has any spray foam in it at all. And so this is really important for your client, your listeners, to check before they do anything like this.
Right.
We have another company that does not have a problem with it at all. We have one company that just will not do it, at all. And so that can be a real problem.
And that's because they can't potentially see the termites, the damage that they're doing, because they're eating the wood underneath the spray foam insulation.
That's the reason. That's their reasoning. That's what they say. Now, the job that the first job that this became aware of for us, we've been doing this the same way for years, and then it finally popped up like this. And we've been using the same termite guy for 10 years. And then he said, I can't bond this house because you've got spray foam. And we had 2 inches of spray foam in the crawl space. And so when you went into the crawl space and looked up, you could see the underside of the floor joist. We still had bad insulation there, like everybody, does. And so they could pull that down and look and see if there was any termite, activity everywhere but that last 2 inches where it's on the underside of the floor. And that's when he said he wouldn't do it. We've had other companies do not have a problem with it. So, if you've got a termite company that you've been with for years and years and they've got a bomb down your house, I would be advisable to check with them before you go and do this to make sure that it's not an issue for them.
Gotcha. Switching gears here a little, Kevin, what do you, when a homeowner is in the market to hire a remodeling contractor or a custom builder, what kind of due diligence or what kind of homework do you suggest that they do to ensure that they're making an informed decision?
It's a hard question for me to answer from my end of things, but I have clients who many times when people call us, it's through referrals from a friend. And so they already know that we've done something for one of their friends. We've just done a job in James Island. I say a job. The job turned out to be a street. We started at one end of the street, and we did 9 jobs from one end of the street to the other.
Wow.
And it was all from one client telling another client telling another client. So there's nothing like knowing somebody who somebody has worked for.
Right.
Because they'll give you the unvarnished truth about how it went and so forth. You know, every builder in the world, you know, when you ask for referrals, you know, we send you a list of referrals, you know, and you know, we send them to clients. I try to send them to clients that have like projects. So sometimes there is no like project for what somebody is doing, but usually if somebody's doing a kitchen and a bath, they'll have 5 or 6 different kitchen and a bath. I try to send current people, and I will send them the information, and then I'll let those people know that this person may call them, tell them what happened and so forth. And that seems to work well. Our company is different than a lot of companies. We are a debt-free company. We don't have charge accounts. When something shows up on the job site, it's paid for. We buy everything point of purchase. Right then and there, we pay for it. I'm not interested in getting a huge lumber bill at the end of the month. It gets tricky sometimes when we're buying $50,000 worth of windows for a big old custom house with cash flow, but it is what it is, you know. And so, you know, we don't, you know, at this point in time, I guess the only debt that I have is the car payment that I have on my car. That's mm-hmm. it. That's all we have. I don't have anything else out there. And, you know, I think it's worthwhile for people to get a look and to look online at, see what the reviews are online of people. It seems to be where everything is heading nowadays. And, I think that works as well as anything.
Do you get insulted or put off when you see a homeowner that asks you these questions and wants to see maybe a list of previous customers of Kalman Construction so that they can call them?
Oh no, it doesn't bother me at all. I wouldn't expect any less. The best and worst job interview I ever had was for a job I did in Meggitt. And was for a young client and his wife, a couple of young kids, on a piece of family land that their grandfather owned, and they wanted to build their house. And they'd been through 2 design professionals before they got to me. And they came to me from a friend. And, you know, the friend called me first and told me that this guy was going to be calling me, and he was very, very particular about what he was looking for and so forth. And I was like, okay. And so they called, and I went out for this job interview. And I'd heard questions I had never heard, and this was 5 years ago, so 35 years of construction, I'd never heard questions like this. And they were questions like, we looked up your inspection history at the county, and sometimes you fail. Why is that?
My goodness.
And so then I would go through what happens when you get an inspection from the county or any entity about why you will fail inspections, what you have to do to recoup and, you know, all the rest of that stuff. They wanted to know about what did I have any criminal history, so forth and so on. And they wanted to know how I felt about smoking on site, how I felt about drinking on site. I've been a recovering addict and alcoholic for 33 years. That was an easy one for me to answer. You know, it's like, you know, we just don't allow it. You know, we just don't deal with that stuff. But it was the most rigorous interview. It took 2.5 hours of anything I'd ever gone through. And I walked out of there and said, I really want to build this house. I mean, I want to build this house worse than any house I've ever built in my whole life. And I went home and told my wife the whole story, and she said, you're not going to take that job, are you? And I said, I really want it. I said, you know, you spend your whole career telling everybody that you're good at what you do, so, you know, I've got a guy who says, prove it, you know, and I really want to do this job. And they hired us to do the job, and he has given us the most glowing recommendation. As a matter of fact, today I sent a client to him today to talk to him about what working with us was like. And, you know, he's an engineer, a very detail-oriented guy. And, you know, he'll tell him the good stuff. He'll tell him the bad stuff. He'll tell him everything. And that's what I want my guys to do with, you know, my clients when they, you know, when a prospective client calls them, is to give them the whole story. You know, don't just give them the rainbows and the unicorns. Tell them everything, you know. So, you know, I think the more you can get to know somebody before you get everything going, the better off everybody is. You know, when I go to a client's house, I'm looking at everything, and they're looking at everything at me. They're looking at the car I drive up in. You know, they're looking at, you know, how I present myself. I'm looking at, you know, what's their garage look like? You know, is it just packed with stuff from the front to the back, or, you know, is everything in its place? And, you know, they've got the spray painted, you know, on the wall where every screwdriver goes. You know what I mean? You know, mm-hmm. I'm looking at everything when I walk in. You know, what does their living room look like? You know, how is everything there? Because all that stuff is clues, just like I'm giving out clues. Everything is clues. And you know, reading that stuff over years and years and years, you know, really, 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 really helps. And, you know, how clients interact is a big thing that I'm watching all the time. You know, how does the husband and the wife interact? Who's making the decisions? You know, is one of them saying, I want this, and the other one is not saying anything, you know, and, you know, but just piping up, you know, about money, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Because that's the guy who's got the power of the purse, or the girl, you know. And so trying to watch this interaction all the time, and they're doing the same to us. So, you know, it's just a reading game.
Yeah, because the homeowners heard horror stories probably in the past about contractors taking off and not finishing the job and this and that. And, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, Kevin, but there can be nightmare customers out there too. And I've heard this from a few of our clients in Charleston Home and Design Magazine about how there's a certain profile of a homeowner that is not happy unless the contractor loses. It can't be a win-win. You know, look at our beautiful house that you remodeled. Thank you. And here's your final payment. There has to be, they need to win and you need to lose. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not so sure about that. You know, I think that when projects get real touchy at times, and they happen, you know, whether it's schedule or it's pricing or somebody's expectations aren't met, you know, I think many times there's enough blame to go around. Sometimes you just have to own it. Sometimes you've got to be able to say, yeah, you know, we could have done better here, or we should have done better there. Or, you know, no, you know, that's, you know, this is what you were promised. This is what you got. And sometimes anything other than no is a yes. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to be able to just say no, and you know, I'm really sorry, but that's it. That's all I can do, and you know, the chips fall where they fall, and it's hard. You know, it's a hard business. You know, it's. I had a friend who told me his wife was going to quit being a nurse and she was going to start building houses. She was going to get a builder's license to build houses, and I was like, well, do I make this look too easy? what are you doing? You know, I said, don't do it. You know. I'm just telling you, do not do it. I said, I've been doing this stuff for 40 years, and every week there is something I see that I've never seen before in my whole life. You know, something that happens. It's just like the craziest thing will happen. And, you know, I'm like, you know, don't do it. And, you know, she lasted like, you know, three quarters of a house.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, she was just crying in the bedroom, and he calls me and asks me, can I finish it for him? And I said, I'm sorry, man, I can't. You know, I can't do it. You've got to, like, you know, step up and do this thing and do what you got to do here and fix it. But just, you know, it's just crazy sometimes.
Yeah, that old expression, cheap is expensive, and a lot of times when homeowners cut corners, they end up paying for it ultimately, whether it is when they're looking at bids from different builders. This is a well-known technique. Is I've heard horror stories about how contractors underbid the allowances to make the overall bid less, and then when it came time for the homeowners to pick out their lighting, for example, they only had a $2,000 allowance for all their lighting, you know, and so they, you know, the bid was cheap to start with, but then they ended up having to come out of pocket for a number of items because there was a reason that the bid was cheap. The allowances weren't adequate.
Well, you know what the issue is there is that nobody took the time to go and pick the stuff. And it goes right back to what we talked about on the last episode about somebody has to have the time to pick the stuff.
Right.
So, you know, and should the allowance have been bigger? Yeah, no doubt about it, you know. But if somebody takes the time and goes and picks all that stuff ahead of time, you never have that problem.
That's true. Do your homework up front.
That doesn't change. It's just old school. It is what it is. Go get the work done. It's better for everybody, you know.
I interviewed a general contractor a few years ago, and he said he was frustrated because he said people spend more time researching the car they're going to buy than the builder that they're going to hire.
Yeah. And yeah, I bet that's true. You know, and I think that sometimes it's a reliance on if it's in the original, you know, the first mold of like an architect design, and then we're going to bid it out and, you know, so forth, you know, at least you've got something that you can get your hands around to bid on. Many times I'll go interview with a client and they're like, you know, I'm thinking of doing this, you know, and you know, I'll go back to my office and say, okay, I'll look up, let's say it's a screen porch or something. And, you know, I'll go back to my office and look up the last two screen porches we did. And I'll get back to him and say, here's your ballpark. Oh, I got a guy who's like, you know, 20% less than that. Well, based on what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's nothing at this point in time that's based on anything. And so it's like, it's all smoke and mirrors, you know, until you can get something concrete that you can actually get a number on. It's all smoke and mirrors, and, you know, people get too far down the path sometimes to back up, and, you know, they end up getting a bad result.
Well, we only have a few more minutes left, but I wanted to ask you, some of our listeners may have attended one of the seminars that Kalman Construction put on at one of our previous home shows, and we have we've chosen Kalman Construction, I think, for three separate home shows to present a seminar, and they're always very well attended. And talk about some of those seminars that you have presented in the past, and some of the subject matter of those seminars.
We did one on the design build aspect of working with a design build, you know, firm from design all the way through construction. I try to pepper as many photographs in there as we can, because that's really, you know, it really helps to show people what's going on and you know, how we got from point A to point B. And, you know, it's not all rainbows. You know, I'll tell them, you know, this is what went right and this is what went wrong. And, you know, sometimes you just learn and move on and you know, try not to make that mistake again. So that's kind of the way that one went. And I did one that was really well attended on trying to save money but have cool detailing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool costs more but doesn't have to, I think was the title of that one. And it was an interesting seminar in that I used a lot of photographs about different projects that we had done and reuse of materials in a different way, whether it was using stone pool coping for stair treads on one project, or using industrial wire fencing for handrails on another project. So there was all kinds of reuse of materials in non-traditional ways. And then I went through a whole thing about interior trim and how to get interior trim details that look more expensive than it is, by stacking materials and different trim profiles, and how to really make something look like it cost a whole lot more than it did. That was a really good seminar. So that was.
I remember that. Well, good deal. Well, how can folks get more information about Kalman Construction?
They can reach us on the web at www.kalman.com, kalmanconstruction.com, I'm sorry. They can reach us with our office number, which is 843-856-0515. And if they just look up Kalman Construction, there's a whole bunch of ways they can get to us, and we will return the phone call.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with remodeling contractor and custom builder Kevin Kalman with Kalman Construction. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Thanks, Tim.
And now joining us on the phone is Kristen Robson with French Mercantile Home, a new retail store in Somerville. How are you doing, Kristen?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Kristen, take a moment and tell everyone about French Mercantile.
French Mercantile is a newly opened shop. We opened on September 1st, 2020, so we've just been open for a little over 3 weeks. And our goal is really to just bring some of the European lifestyle and the beauty of a European lifestyle into the homes of people that live in Charleston and the surrounding area.
Excellent, excellent. I visited your French Mercantile yesterday to drop off some of the new issues of Charleston Home and Design magazine, and
yes.
I was very, very impressed. First of all, you're not a typical retail store in a retail setting. You're in what looks like an old Somerville mansion. Can you kind of describe the setting for French Mercantile?
Sure. So, yes, we're located in a beautiful old home right in historic downtown Somerville on West Richardson Avenue. And this home, we actually had the unique privilege of meeting family members of the previous two owners. So this has always been a private residence. And about a year ago, a gentleman purchased it as an investment property. And the original plan for this home was to turn it into some retail offices, potentially law offices. And the timing just worked out perfectly when our owner, Tony, was looking for a space to execute her vision for this store. This home happened to come up for lease, and it was just perfect timing.
Excellent. Can you kind of take our listeners on a virtual tour? What they'll experience when as they pull up outside of the French Mercantile home that you folks are located in?
Absolutely. So when you pull up in front of the house, it's a beautiful, as you described, a beautiful old white historic home with a beautiful red metal roof. We have a beautiful porch, which we actually just hosted a wonderful open house on last Friday. So we got to use that for the first time to entertain some of our guests. When you come in, you enter into our gift room, and we have lots of different items that we're trying to reach out to different price points and make sure that we have something for every customer that comes in our doors. So lots of gifts in the front room, jewelry. We have some soy melts that are made exclusively for us. We have bath items, milk baths, mud baths, all kinds of things to pamper yourself. And then as you move into the back of the store, on the other side of our double-sided fireplace, which is original to the structure, we have an entertaining room where we have everything you would need to entertain your family, your friends, charcuterie, wine tastings, especially in such a crazy time for all of us where a lot of us have been quarantined and maybe not going out as much as we would like to be. We're trying to bring some of those items to you, to bring into your home, to have those experiences at home with your friends. In the entertaining room, you will find our vintage breadboards, which have actually been one of our top sellers. They're all a little bit unique. We have all different sizes. We have French market baskets in the entertaining room, and we have some beautiful linens and glassware. And then to the right of the store, we have a wonderful candle bar. And so we have a variety of different scents that have been curated just for us. We have a candle bar with cloches. You can lift the cloches and smell all of the different wonderful scents that we have. We also have beautiful pillows. We have beautiful florals. We do a lot of dried florals here at French Mercantile. Lots of different wall art, wall hangings, unique wreaths. And then when you step into the back of the house, we have our kitchen room. And that's actually been one of our most popular rooms. So in addition to the items that we have in our entertaining room, then we have everything you would need to prepare those items for your guests. Everything from French linen aprons to rolling pins to serving pieces. We have Savon de Marseille, which is a French soap. It's imported directly to us from France. And that's probably one of our more unique items that we actually have in the store that you can buy locally. Beautiful bowls, bowl covers. We have Danish dough hooks, wooden spoons, anything you can think of to get ready for your guests and prepare your items.
All right. Well, that's a very good description.
I just gave you a total virtual tour.
Yeah,
you can
for sure.
It in your head.
I'm looking at your ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine, and it kind of sums up what French Mercantile is all about by saying you'll find an array of European farmhouse decor, cottage style, vintage style goods, antiques, gifts, candles, and so much more. And
yes.
I think you covered it very, very well. One of the things that kind of struck me, like the breadboards that you mentioned,
yes.
These all look authentic, like they were used for many, many years at bakeries in France or something.
Yes, they're all vintage. You're exactly right. We do have some new breadboards in our kitchen room. So if somebody wasn't wanting to purchase something vintage, we do have some that are brand new. But in that entertaining room in the center of the home, that's where we have all of those beautiful Turkish breadboards, beautiful, aged, and we have a size for everyone. So we have small, medium, and large, depending on your need and your space. But yes, they're just stunning, and they make such a great statement piece.
And they're not to be, I'm sure you could, but they're not to be used at home. They're for a utility purpose. They're more for decor, to add into your kitchen decor, that kind of thing, right?
Correct. Yeah, if you were going to put anything on them to display, we would recommend just placing some sort of, you know, parchment paper or something on top of it if you wanted to use it to display. But no, we would not recommend putting food directly on them.
Right. What are some of the top selling items at French Mercantile?
Well, right on the heels of what we just talked about, those vintage breadboards are definitely one of our most popular sellers at this point. We've restocked those once already, and people are always coming in and asking for different sizes of those and looking for new shapes of those. The candles have been a very big seller. They've been very popular. They're great for a gift. The soy melts have sold pretty well, and then the Savon de Marseille has been a big seller, so that authentic French soap. We also have all of our kitchen items. The kitchen linens, the dish towels have been a very big seller. Our French linen aprons have been selling very nicely. And we sell a bowl cover, which we're in the process of restocking. Hopefully we'll have them sometime this week. But for people that are environmentally conscious and don't want to use saran wrap or cling wrap or things like that, it's a nice bowl cover that just covers any size bowl. Great for presentation as well because it looks cute. So,
gotcha. And you mentioned soy melts. What's a soy melt?
So a soy melt, it's just you can purchase a wax warmer. We sell those here. You plug it in and you drop a soy melt into it and you get the same scent as our candle without actually having a flame.
Oh, so, gotcha. I've seen those before. Yeah,
exactly. So great for people with young kids that maybe don't want to have a candle lit on a lower surface. And so we sell those as well. And it's also a nice alternative to the candles because they are a little bit less in price for our candles. So again, trying to offer something at lots of different price points so we can reach as many customers as possible and give them the same experience.
Right. And to your knowledge, is there anything like French Mercantile in Charleston?
Not to our knowledge, no. There's definitely some beautiful antique stores in downtown Charleston along King Street, but I think the variety of gifts and items that we have in stock is very unique to the Charleston area.
Well, that's great. Well, how can folks get more information about French Mercantile?
So we have a Facebook page, and it's just French Mercantile. We have an Instagram account with the same name. It's at French Mercantile Home. I'm sorry, just at French Mercantile. And then we also have a website, FrenchMercantile.home.com.
And I'm looking at your ad. It says FrenchMercantileHome.com. Is that
correct?
Is that right?
Yes, that
okay.
is our website.
They'll find it when they do a search. FrenchMercantileHome.com.
Yes, and Instagram and Facebook are definitely our two biggest outlets. Instagram, we do stories every day just to feature new items that are in the store and to give our followers the experience of what it's like to kind of walk in that front door and experience the new merchandise that we've gotten in.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I urge everyone to visit, make a trip of it. And Somerville's a beautiful, beautiful village and lots of great shopping. And you definitely want to check out French Mercantile, a brand new store that just opened recently, and you especially with the holidays coming up, lots of great gift ideas, that unique gift ideas that you can find at French Mercantile.
Absolutely. And just like you said, we're located in a great area with lots of other great shops and restaurants around us. We are very walkable, so free parking in downtown Somerville. We actually have a parking garage that you can park in for free and walk around and enjoy all the other businesses, restaurants, coffee shops. There's a great wine shop around the corner from us, so lots to do.
Excellent. All right. Well, we have been talking with Kristen Robson with French Mercantile. Thanks so much, Kristen.
Thank you so much. It was great chatting with you.
And joining us on the phone right now is Ben Walters with Carolina Lanterns and Lighting. How you doing, Ben?
Great, Tim. How are you this morning?
Doing fine. Ben, take a moment and tell everybody about Carolina Lanterns and Lighting.
So Carolina Lanterns and Lighting has been around for the last 20 years. We have just recently gone through a new ownership change with Kelly and Jana Hart moving here from Texas and taking on the ownership from Jan Klaus. Right now, that has been a great transition for our company. It's been a great thing for our community. Jan isn't going away anytime soon. She's still connected, and she's still with us, helping us with some new business development. And Kelly and Jana have taken over the business side of Carolina Lanterns, making sure that our sales and our development, our process, and operating has smoothed out. And it's been a great transition with them. But I say that we've been active for the last 20 years to say that we're planning on being active for the next 20 and a lot more. So we're excited about being a part of this community and continuing to grow the lighting industry and the design industry as well.
Yeah, well, congratulations to Jan, Jan Klaus. She started Carolina Lanterns and Lighting, and and you could probably tell us a little bit more. She started it originally just as a lantern company, and then talk about that, how the company grew from there.
Sure. So Carolina Lantern started out of the trunk of Jan's car. She had an idea to put some lanterns on the outside of her house, and she wasn't able to find someone to build what she wanted, and so she went out and found the coppersmith that was able to do it. And from there, the lantern side of the company just blew up. Jan was, she's a very well liked individual as well as a great salesperson. And so she grew the company from the outside of the car of her trunk into a small little place over by Whole Foods. And then from there to where we currently are at and Chuck Dolly and Bowman on that corner there. And that she just kept getting approached with people wanting to have chandeliers and sconces and other things like that to be able to choose from. And so Jan grew the business from handcrafted lanterns to what it is right now. We can do everything from a ceiling fan to a recessed can to a bathroom fan to some of the most gorgeous chandeliers that you could possibly imagine. And one of the things that we take a lot of pride in is if you can dream it up, if you can draw it out, we most likely can build it for you. And so we're excited about how the company has developed over the last 20 years and to continue to keep that pushing for the future.
Yeah, and anybody who has built a custom home knows all of the thousands of decisions that have to be made by the homeowner. And I'm sure that she got lots of questions early on when she was just selling the lanterns that do you sell the lighting too? Because we'd love to be able to knock that decision out right here. And I'm sure she got so many of those requests that eventually you folks became Carolina Lanterns and Lighting. And anybody who has not stopped by Carolina Lanterns and Lighting showroom in Mount Pleasant, they definitely need to, because you folks have got such an awesome selection of lighting and lanterns. And then you also you folks also have the outlet center. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. So we call it designer line items at a discounted price, because it truly is that. We have some of the greatest items that are coming in weekly that we take out of the boxes and we hang up so people can see them, touch them. But they're coming from some of the places that people would know, some of those names like Hudson Valley or Mitzi or a Kichler product. Some of those products that you would maybe make a decision to go to Home Depot and buy something on the weekend. Maybe your fan ran out on you in the bedroom. But we have those same types of things. We have fans, we have chandeliers, sconces. We even have some what we call boneyard lanterns that didn't work out for people that are there. And so rather than just, you know, throw them away or scrapping them, we just put them up there at a discounted rate to help people basically build out whatever you want in your lighting package for your house. You can at that outlet center.
Yeah.
We also have a place in Bluffton right now that we just recently opened up. And so it's been down there. It's been thriving ever since the beginning of April. And it's more of a sit down kind of meeting space, but it allows people to see just the drop in the bucket of what we offer down there as well.
All right. Good deal. And yeah, everybody's looking for a good deal these days. And so you definitely want to check out the Carolina Lanterns and Lighting Outlet Center. And that's not on site. That's not at the same location in Mount Pleasant as the showroom for Carolina Lanterns and Lighting. That's over off of Clements Ferry Road, right?
That's correct, Tim. That address over there is 445 Deanna Lane. It's literally only a mile and a half right off of 526 mm-hmm. there on Clements Ferry Road. Really easy to get to. It's open Monday through Friday from 9 to 3:30. And you can, like I said, you can almost pick out your whole lighting package there if that's something that you wanted to go and do.
While Carolina Lanterns and Lighting was under the wing of Jan Klaus, she really made the Carolina Lanterns and Lighting name a national brand by partnering with Southern Living Magazine and Coastal Living Magazine, I believe, and talk about some of these magazines' idea houses that Carolina Lanterns and Lighting has been involved with over the years.
Yeah, so we've been involved with Southern Living for the last 10 years strong. In fact, we are working with Southern Living right now in the Bluffton area. They have a Southern Living neighborhood that is being developed. And so we just stepped in on a project down there about 7 months ago that should be finishing up here shortly. But we've kind of grown to love being connected to Southern Living because of the idea of what the architects kind of bring in. Everything that we've done with them is just a little bit different, a little unique. And one of the last things that we've done with Southern Living is that we created a brand new lantern called the Buford Lantern. It has some great metal work on the top of the lantern, the bottom of the lantern, stuff that you just can't find anywhere else. It's a very unique product. But again, it's one of those products that the architect just had an idea, drew a little scratch on a piece of paper, and then we kind of brought it to light with some CAD drawings. and just sent out a couple samples out to them before we approved it all. But it's just beautiful things that we've been able to create just off of the architect's or the designer's desire to see something fresh and new.
Well, that's awesome. And Charleston, the brand of Charleston has gotten to be so well known around the country that there are people all over the country that they may not have the opportunity to live here in Charleston, but they want sort of a piece of Charleston. They want the lanterns and some of the lighting fixtures that Carolina Lanterns and Lighting sells. They want to be able to kind of have that Charleston look wherever their home is around the country. And Carolina Lanterns has been able to deliver that to those folks.
It's been a great thing to be a part of something that isn't just a locally owned store, but it literally has grown nationally and even internationally.
Yeah, and tell me, Ben, I won't pin you down for exact numbers, but I know that Carolina Lanterns and Lighting has lots and lots of local customers and does lots of business with some of the biggest custom home builders here in the local in the Charleston area. But then you also have sales coming from all over the United States, right?
That's true, Tim. We've actually sent lanterns as far south as the continental United States, within Florida, down into the Keys. We even have some up in Maine right now, and we've been doing a lot of projects out in California right now.
Well, that's great. Well, we're almost out of time, but talk about the sale that you folks have got going on right now.
Sure. Due to COVID, we actually had a market that we went to in January and that we got ready to put up some products, but because of COVID and some of the other things that have happened, a lot of the products just didn't come in at the timing that we thought that they did. So our warehouse has finally received a bunch of great new products that came out at the beginning of 2020 that we've decided that we're going to hang up in the showroom on the corner of Chuck Dolly and Bowman there at that address. And we're just going to discount those items and to let people walk in, see it, and, you know, kind of walk out with it in their car. And so right now we're running this deal through the month of October that if you come on in, everything that is on display is at least 15% off. And that includes, that excludes our copper lanterns and fans and a line that we call Rochambeau, which is a local line that we carry. But it's some of the greatest lines that you could possibly look at and touch and bring out. But right now with the holidays coming up, and it's always good to have a new refresher in the house with maybe a new chandelier or something like that, that can kind of help bring a statement piece into your home. And right now we're trying to sell those right out of the store.
Well, good deal. The old supply chain disruption that a lot of people have been experiencing. Good to see things getting back on track. Well, Ben, how can folks get more information about Carolina Lanterns and Lighting?
Well, we always have the phone number that you can call is 843-881-4170. And we have 7 lighting specialists on hand that can help answer questions for you, sit down, go over blueprints, or maybe if you're just curious on what kind of chandelier fits in your room, you can always give us a call. We can always answer those questions for you. You can always go to our website as well at www.carolinalanterns.com. We have a great selection on there that you can choose from with our lanterns, also within our lighting packages that we offer for people there.
All right. Well, we have been talking with Ben Walters with Carolina Lanterns and Lighting. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great day.
You too. Talking about a home, talking about a home.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.